We're so grateful for those that are here in person, but we're also so grateful for those that are online. And we thank you for our online family being present. Amen. And so let's pray this morning before we break bread. Amen. How many of you know the Word of God is good, wholesome food? Amen. It's faith food. Amen. It's good food. It's the bread. It's living. Amen. Breathing. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for the Word this morning. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you. We don't detach right now, but we reconsecrate and attach right now. Come on, we get our focus in line to hear from heaven. And Father, we thank you right now, Holy Spirit, for the word of the Lord that comes forth with boldness and with authority and with power. I thank you driving out every sickness and disease, removing, come on, everything that needs to be removed in Jesus' name. Lord, we lift high this word. We lift high your name. We lift high, come on, our children and our youth. We lift high all those this morning. In Jesus' name, we call them blessed, strengthened, increased, fruitful, multiplying. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. You can be seated this morning. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and get them out. You can turn on over to Luke, amen, 6, Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. I want to say this. We're going to talk this morning a few minutes about sacrificial giving, but I want to say this. Before we get started, the Lord kind of put this in my heart. How many of you know over in 2 Samuel, while you're turning to Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, how many of you know over in 2 Samuel, we have this guy named David? Does anybody remember David from the Old Testament, from the Old Covenant? Amen. Remember David in the Bible? Praise God. David was a mighty man of valor. David, one of the things I love about what God said is David was a what? A man. God said he's a man after what? My own heart. So David was prone to make decisions that were very much sometimes like other people in the Bible. We read like Peter, where Jesus was being arrested in the garden, and Judas has already betrayed Jesus with a kiss and some silver, and so here they come to arrest Jesus, and Peter gets so upset that he goes to grab a sword and begins to get so angry that he begins to take an ear off. Y'all remember that? And then Jesus just reached out and ministered, and then there was another ear, and he just demonstrated real quickly who he was. But the point is these are people, amen, much like Peter that was with Jesus. So they saw love, amen, manifested in the flesh and walking with them. But what I'm saying is this, is that sometimes, whether it's giving, whether it's your giftings, whether it's location, geographical, how many know that you can be, amen, exactly as God sees you. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am in the place that God has placed me. I'm being fruitful, and I'm multiplied. But how many of you know David in 2 Samuel was in a place when kings should be out the war? The Bible says that David stayed home. Amen. And so in light of that, he saw a woman bathing on top of another building when he should have been out the war. What happened? He was where he shouldn't be. Amen. And so this morning, this message, we say, what does that have to tie in? Because I feel it in my, before I got to teaching this message this morning, I was sitting at, meditating on this message this morning before I began to teach this, I was sitting at the table and the Lord just spoke to me just to encourage the people that when God speaks to us to be in a place, whether financially, how many know relationally, how many know even in a dating relationship, you can be attached to the wrong person. So what are you saying? I'm saying like David, who belonged to God, had covenant with God, who did mighty things for God, and one fell swoop made a wrong decision to not be in a place, right, where he should be, and there was a mistake. And so he laid in context in 2 Samuel, and we see this in chapter 12, where not only did David make the wrong decision and call another man's wife to his room, but what happened was is he had sex with her, and there was a baby that came forth that the husband was on the front lines of war. Amen. And then so here comes, and you see this in 2 Samuel 12, that the Lord sent Nathan to David. Now you know Nathan brought some stern words to David. And so in light of that, there is the mercy of God. Come on. Jesus shed his blood. He dealt with sin once and for all. But we have the grace of God. Amen. But I want to encourage you in this morning is this, is when God has us relationally, financially, when he has us, come on, even in this house, there are things that he has for you to do, and there's things that he's speaking to your heart to do. How many of you know, would you agree, we need to get to where we need to be? If God is calling you to be there, what do you need to do? Come on, you need to be there. On the inside, God's saying, you need to give. What do you need to do? Come on, that's a week. Come on, when God says give, what do you need to do? Give, amen. When he says, come on, relationships, maybe you're in a dating relationship and God's saying, this isn't for you. What do you need to do? Obey. Come on, when God says, I need you geographically in this location and you're a missionary, come on, and God says, I need you here. What do you need to do? You need to start making preparations to move in that direction. Amen. When you're called to ministry, and or you're called to pioneer something, or whatever God put in your heart, amen. The word this morning that is here before I get started is we need to do exactly what God has told us to do. We need to be exactly where he has told us to be. Amen. And I know there's times where it takes you and I don't know about you, it takes me a little bit to meditate on what God has given me, and then I make a decision, and then I move. Amen. And that's not what God's talking about this morning. What I felt in my heart was is there's a season where God gives you something, he places it in your heart. And we need to meditate on that and pray that thing out and then move upon. Not just be a hearer of what he tells us, but be a doer, come on, of what he tells us to do. Does this sound like James? Amen. James says the doer of the word is the one who is blessed. So in light of that, there's a word that's going to rise up, and I hear this in my heart. There's a word that's going to rise up within the believer, the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's happening, I believe in my heart, prophetically, the Lord has spoken to me, particularly in this area and what's going on in the church, is if we are to be, God's speaking to us, you need to be in a place. In other words, like David, you need to be out to war leading your men. Amen. Mighty man of valor, come on. You need to be out where you need to be. Amen. And that's where you'll be fruitful. That's where you'll be productive. And that's where you will multiply by being in the very place that God has assigned you to. Amen. How many of you know that when you go to war, it feels a little bit uncomfortable because you know you're preparing for battle. You know you're going into war. Amen. Amen. Some of us in this room, you've been through some serious battles. You've been through some things. Amen. In your life, you've lived from birth to this time. You've walked through riots. You've seen looting. And I'm not just talking about recently. I'm talking about the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. You've seen things happening in your nation's oppression. Kings oppressing people, dictators oppressing God's people. Amen. And I just hear the word of the Lord saying this to those that are watching online and those that are present in this room, that take what God has put in your heart with serious thought, with serious, come on, have a conviction about what he's speaking into your heart. Listen to what the Spirit of God is saying to you. Amen. And get moving in the direction that he wants you to move into quickly. Amen. Come on, meditating and praying, but get in that place quickly. If he has called you to usher, usher. If he's speaking to your heart to give, give. If he's called you to break a dating relationship, you need to break that relationship and get on, because your good thing is on the way, and what you're attached to at the moment may not be what you're supposed to be connected to. Amen. Praise God. And so I hear this in our heart. Let us not be like David was. Now, David made the correction in his heart, and he moved on, and God said, even with all that happened, he's still a man after my heart. But there were repercussions. If you read 2 Samuel 11, I like to read before the context and after the context to see what's going on before and after, and I encourage you to do that. But let's not be in a position when we have truth written right in front of us. Amen. You're saying, Pastor, what if we're going to make mistakes. Failures are a part of life. But tuning ourselves in to the frequency of the Holy Spirit, getting faster, getting quicker, getting better. Amen. Some of you, when you grew up, you were sitting not in front of televisions. You used to listen to the radio, and you would turn on your favorite shows, and you would listen to them. And that's what I feel the Holy Ghost is saying to us as the church. Come on, we're not unlearned children in this house. Those that are in this room, those that are watching online, we're not unlearned. We know the word. We know the voice. Come on, we know that inward witness. We know the Holy Spirit of God when he's speaking to us. And we need to be where we need to be and be faithful where he's called us to be. Amen. Does this resonate? So I just hear the Lord saying to those online and those in this house, get to where you God is calling you to be and get there and stay there and be faithful there. Amen. And not be like David, who had an assignment sitting at home, and there were ramifications, there were repercussions of him not being at war, that a man's life, a husband of a wife, was taken. Come on, because he was put on the front lines of battle. Come on. Amen. There were other lives lost. There were people hurt. How many of you know that when we do what God's told us to do, there's great blessing, there's great benefit. Come on, there's increase, there's prosperity there. The blessing, amen, amen. And so this morning, and we're going to talk a little bit about sacrificial giving, and I want you to say this with me. Say, giving produces giving. Say it again. Say, giving produces giving. Luke 6:38, if you're with me this morning, what are we doing this morning? We're getting in our place. Come on, we're running in our lane. We're where God wants us to be. And this morning, we're going to talk about being in the right place. Amen. So the Bible says in Luke 6:38, I want you to grab this first word. It says, give. Underline that in your Bible. Give. And it shall be what? Given unto you. So if you like to highlight in your Bible, write things down, underline that word. Give. And then the three words, given unto you. Give, and it shall be given unto you what? A good measure. Pressed down, shaking together, and running over shall what? Come on, talk to me, church, this morning. Shall what? Men give into your bosom. So does God use people? Come on, does he use the body of Christ? Does he use men and women and children to get resources to you? Come on, the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, does he use his body? Amen. You are his hands and his feet. It says, for with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. So I say this to you again. If you're taking notes, we're talking about sacrificial giving. Giving produces giving. And giving allows you to what? Receive. Giving allows you to receive. See, Luke 6:38 in the Amplified says this. You're taking notes this morning. Amen. It says, give and gifts will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Will they pour, listen to this, I love this, into the pouch formed by the bosom of your robe and used as a bag. For with the measure you deal out, with the measure you use when you confer benefits on others. Isn't that good? When you confer benefits on others, it what? It will be measured back to you. So giving produces gifts in your life. Amen. Giving produces gifts in your life. And being a giver, listen, it affects your wallet. Come on, you say, God, my wallet is affected, or my wallet is good. God wants your wallet good, and he wants it increased. Listen, whether you have great wealth or whether your financial position, know that God doesn't want you to settle. Amen. Because as his hands and feet, when we understand these principles that we're going to teach today and we're going to speak upon and we have taught in this house, God, you know, hands and feet, how many of you know when you meet a natural need, when you take somebody to lunch and they haven't eaten, come on, and they're living off the last penny that they have, and they're working hard. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about men and women of God who are grinding, that haven't, they're grinding so hard in life, they haven't got a hold of the biblical principles that we're talking about. Come on, I've been here. God, where are you? I am grinding. I am working. And there's some principles that I missed in my life that I've learned that I'm walking in this time, in this season. Come on, God, there's people to reach. There's bellies to fill. There's people to help. Come on. We have China represented in this house. We have local missions. We have those that are here in this house that do missions in China. But we have Andrew Brazzi and Pastor Mar and Pastor Hagen and all of the Rama locations around the world. This weekend, we got to spend time with, I can't mention their name for the sake of their privacy, but we got to spend time with more missionaries that have ministered for years in China. And they enlightened us on some more things this weekend and what's going on and what God is doing. Come on. Amen. So the gospel is going out into China. The gospel of the kingdom is going out, come on, into Cambodia. The gospel of the kingdom is going out, amen, in Lebanon. The gospel of the kingdom is going out. How many of you know it takes resources to do that? Come on. When you're distributing Bibles, how many of you know that costs something? Not just time, not just printing energy, but money. So when we talk about these principles, know that this is about affecting the kingdom and moving in regards to the kingdom, but it's also in regards to moving you. Amen. Because God doesn't want you to sow in the Bibles and be broke. He wants you to prosper. What does 3 John 2 say? Beloved, I pray above what? All things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Physically, spiritually, socially, emotionally, financially. So, and again, in the Amplified, in Luke 6:38, in the Amplified, he said, with the measure you use when you confer benefits on others. When you confer, grab that statement, when you confer benefits on others, it will be measured back to you. And so giving produces gifts in your life. Giving produces gifts in your life. Being a giver does affect your wallet. Let me say this, and I love this statement. Being a giver into someone else's life will produce a giver into your life. Come on, when you give into somebody else's life, the biblical principle all through the scriptures, and there's more scriptures that we're going to talk today, and we're going to get as many as we can sown into your heart. The seed of the word, what? Sown into your heart. Why? That you may grow thereby. That you could see for yourself. Amen. And so if you are wishing someone would give to you, you first have to give to someone else. Come on. God, how do you ever look at people and you go, man, they just seem like they're prospering. And then you look further and you go, no, it's not just a bunch of payments and financing. They really are prospering. Come on. You dig a little bit deeper relationally and you even make a phone call and you say, hey, come on. You show up with a pen and a notebook paper and you say, man, I'm ready to listen. Your time is valuable to me. Can I have some of your time? You don't waste it. Come on. You say your time is precious. You know, time is a commodity that Warren Buffett, you know, he can't buy more time. He's worth billions of dollars, but it's the one thing he cannot buy more of. We have the same 24 hours in a day that every man, woman, and child, everyone living on this earth has. What are we doing with it? Amen. Well, if I had more money, God's trying to get it to you, but you've got to operate according to biblical principles. Amen. See, that which you gained on your own, you'll have to maintain on your own. That's why I want God on my money and on, you know, in the context of generosity and sacrificial giving. I want to work in line with the word of God and allow the word to work for me. Amen. And God, when he says he's going to do something, I've lived enough life to know he's going to do exactly what he says he's going to do. Which means I have a responsibility to believe and to speak. Amen. The spirit of faith in operation. Praise God. I know millionaires that are sitting here right now in this room. Come on, you don't know it yet. It's going to hit you here in a few minutes. You're going to begin to see business rise out of you. Commerce rise out of you. Come on, missions rise out of you. Come on, healing power rising out of you to go touch a generation. Business to rise up out of you to what? Go touch a generation. Come on, right now in Africa, Vidar and Catherine Lagarde, we support and on a monthly basis. Powerful time with him in Louisiana because he had written a book, A Fork in the Road. And it's powerful that he's taken this book, principles that God has given their ministry and given them. Come on. Things that they have learned and applied, they take it to a broke foreign country and see people that were impoverished, come on, in poverty, come on, growing and increasing and multiplying, where they were walking, come on, they were riding a bike, and where they were riding a bike, then they moved to a moped. When they moved to a moped, they moved to a car. Now to the car, they moved to a better car. And all the meantime, that they're sacrificial giving, these guys aren't just moving on up. They're promoting the kingdom. They're believing the word of God. They're applying the scripture, and they're sowing that which has been given to them. Do you hear what I'm saying? So if you're wishing someone would give to you, you first have to give to someone else. God will make happen Listen, this is something that you will see when I make this statement that's probably already happened in a lot of your lives right here in this room. I know it's happened in mine, that God will make happen for you what you make happen for somebody else. Amen. See, a lot of times, can I just speak to ministers and those that have been in the ministry and those serving? I want to say this to you, and to everyone really, but particularly ministers. Listen, a lot of times we're looking out and seeing bigger buildings, bigger houses, bigger cars, and it is about material things. And then we get this attitude, well, you know, he's got, you know, he's learning, yeah, well, whatever. And then we can develop an attitude. We develop an attitude. We develop an attitude about increase. And we put down prosperity. And then we want to nail prosperity to the wall and put it all on this side of the ditch in the bog. No, there's a balance in prosperity. Come on, there's a principle that God's trying to get over to his church. It's not new. Come on, this word has been written. It has been spoken. If we would just get in line with what God is saying. Come on, don't criticize others and ministers and leaders because they're walking in the place of revelation knowledge that we're not walking in. Do you understand this? Some of you are nodding your head. You're like, you feel me? Because I've been here. I've been like, Lord, and what it comes down to is revelation knowledge, getting into the Word of God and finding exactly what God has to say about the situation. Amen. And you get in the Word, and God reveals, revelation comes to you, and he speaks things to you. And then you begin to do what? You begin to feed yourself and develop yourself and grow yourself. You don't rely on just Sunday and Wednesday and Tuesday prayer and small group meetings. You say those are good, and they have their place, and we can grow thereby by being in those places. But when you go home, there is self-development. There are books we're reading. Come on, there's things that the Holy Ghost is putting in your heart. The Spirit of God is putting in your heart to develop yourself. Amen. Amen. And so what I'm talking about is an attitude. Well, my thing is humble yourself. God spoke to me a long time ago. He said, humble yourself. Develop yourself. Humble yourself. Develop yourself. When I begin to really spend time in the Word and develop myself, I begin to see, come on, revelation. I begin to honor. And when I begin to honor God and honor the men of God and women of God, revelation begin to come. Come on, more revelation. God revealing his truth to me, and I begin to grow, and I say, okay, I see it, Father. The enemy works hard on its people to give them an attitude because they see the blessing, and they like want to get there, but sometimes we're a little lazy in applying the principles that it takes to get in a position. And here's the thing. God is already giving you everything. But a lot of times it's just a lack of knowledge. It's a lack of development. It's a lack of want to. Many have an ascent. We know, okay, pastor, preach it. We know this. I got this word. Is it working, though, in your life? Do we just know it? Is it working? And so the message says this. Give away your life. You'll find life given back to you, but not merely given back, but given back with bonus and blessing. Bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting. Grab that statement right there. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity, listen to this. Generosity begets generosity. Amen. And see, most people would give if it would affect their lifestyle. Isn't that good? But many people never give beyond their comfort or convenience, if it's comfortable or convenient. There's times where I had my last $100 in my pocket. And I say this because I can't use you as an example. I know some of your stories, but I'm just going to use mine. And I can use other ministers, but those many people you may or may not know, so you know me, and I'll give you mine. But I had $100 in my pocket. And the Lord spoke to me to give it, and so I gave it. But you know what's powerful about that is some would look at that and say, well, I just lost $100. Wrong way of looking at it. See, God is trying to multiply you and increase you, and then listen, the Bible says he's already provided these things, because Galatians 3:13 said Christ has redeemed us from what? The curse of the law. Poverty is a part of that. Come on. Poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. Deuteronomy 28. When God said, Israel, when you listen to me, this is the blessing. When you don't listen to me, here's what's going to happen. And so when you give something that you cannot afford to give, you will get something that you cannot afford to buy. Come on, when you get something you can afford to give, or that you can't afford to give. You will get something you can't afford to buy. Examples of sacrificial giving. We're going to look to the scripture right here, John chapter 6. Amen. John chapter 6, 5 through 13. We're going to read some context here, and I'm excited about the scripture. It says this in verse 5. It says, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? Verse 6. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, and this is verse 9, grab this statement. He made this statement right here, and I love it. He said, there is a lad here, a little boy, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Come on, we're already looking at decrease. We're already looking at not enough. Come on, God's getting ready to show him that he is the God that's more than enough. And so, and Jesus said in verse 10, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place so that the men sat down in number about what? 5,000 people. Now think about that for a second. That's a handful. Amen. Right, brother? 5,000 people, that's a good bit of people. But watch what Jesus says. He says, make them sit down in the grass. Jesus took the loaves, verse 11. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, and much as they would. Verse 12, when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Verse 13, I would highlight this in my Bible. He says, therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above, unto them that had eaten. Listen, over and above, they gathered up extra. Come on, it's time we quit reading. And can I just say this? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is still Old Testament. Jesus hasn't died yet. Do you hear what I'm saying? But here's Jesus demonstrating right here. Come on, we live in a new and better covenant. Come on. Jesus is dead. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Come on, our spiritual place is with him, seated with Jesus at the right hand of God. He's given us authority. He's given us power. Come on, to demonstrate, to exercise, to pray in that name. He's given us righteousness, right standing with him, bold access. What holds us back? Come on. See, the miracle was dependent on someone having a resource for Jesus to use. There is a resource in this miracle. And being willing to offer it for his use. Come on, the fish and the loaves were offered. And so Jesus, the disciples, and the little boy knew that what the little boy had wasn't enough. They knew it wasn't enough. But he gave what he had and trusted God. Come on, he gave it and he trusted, right, Monty? He trusted God. So what are you saying? I'm saying never underestimate the power of a sack lunch. Amen. Come on, never underestimate a little bag of food. Amen. Anybody ever remember those little field trips you used to go on? At least here in America, some of you may grew up differently, but here in America, growing up in Florida a little bit until I was 13, we used to go to Old McDonald's Farm. And it used to be amazing to me how they prepare a sack lunch for us when we went out on that little farm. And I was always amazed as a little kid to get away from the school. Does anybody enjoy just getting away from school? And you go out, yeah, you're like, glory to God, I'm away from this place. And then you get out on the farm, and you see all the pigs and chickens. Come on, I'm like in elementary school. I think I was in like the second or third grade. And I was always so hungry. I was one of those kids. If you were my parent, you'd be like, son, moderation. I love to eat. Amen. Still love to eat. Praise God. And here's the thing about that. I was so, you know, school lunches, I've seen them scarce sometimes in the cafeteria. Amen. But when we went on that Old McDonald's farm, I just remember opening that bag and seeing that sack lunch. and just going, praise the Lord. I kept reaching in there. Come on, y'all. And food, go with me this morning. I was going in that bag, and food kept coming out. And I was reaching in and coming out. I'm like, Lord, I got not one, but two, but three, but four. Hey, there's another item in there. Come on. Amen. See, that's the God that you serve, that when you reach into your bag, God just keeps multiplying it. And multiplying, and multiplying, and multiplying, and multiplying. Amen. He's not a God of subtraction or addition. He's a God of multiplication. Come on. Amen. So Luke, never underestimate a sack lunch. So in Luke 5, 1 through 8, you'll turn over to Luke 5, 1 through 8. We're going to look at another instance here. Pretty powerful. Passage of scripture that may be familiar to many of you. But in Luke chapter 5, verse 1, it says this, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake, Gennesaret, verse 2, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. So the day was wrapped. This thing's over. Come on. Many of us, we're already remembering this biblical truth in the story. We've heard this. Come on, but hear it today with the help of heaven. Hear it today, receive it today, receive revelation today. Let the Holy Spirit open up the eyes of your understanding. Come on, Ephesians chapter 1. Amen. And so, verse 3, and he entered into one of the ships, Jesus, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from land. He's push me out, okay, brother? And he sat down, and what happened? And he taught the people out of the ship. And verse 4 says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets down. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Now let me stop right here. For the believer, there's times in your life when you feel like you've toiled. Come on, I know how to fish. Come on, Pastor. Come on, I know how to fish. I've fished this place many times before. I know where the fish, come on, I know how the fish travel. Amen. Come on, these guys didn't have fishing gear of today and technology. They knew because they were experienced. They were practiced. They were in the water. Come on, they knew. They went out and toiled all day. There were no fish. And then you're telling us, you use my boat, and I appreciate that. I'm glad to let you use my boat, but you're telling me to go back out after we, and has anybody actually seen a net washing before? You ever seen a fisherman really wash his nets? You ought to go YouTube that, Google it. Come on. There's some that do it by hand. They don't even have boats. They go out, and they're little canoes, man, throwing out nets to get fish, because that's the only resource for food in some places of the world. Amen. And why they're fishing, get this, why they're fishing? Like, I've watched some documentary where there's like crocodiles the size of our church rows or near two going, please catch that fish. Reach down just for me. Come on. Amen. And so Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night. We have taken nothing. Nevertheless, underline this statement, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let thy net down. What? At thy word. See, we have the logos. But there's times where God is speaking to us by his spirit. And we need to have the same, come on, conviction, the same, what? Obedience to that word that they have right here. Nevertheless, Simon said, at thy word, when God speaks to us, at thy word, I will be in my place. At thy word, I will give that. At thy word, I will be generous. At thy word, I will listen to you and I will obey. Because this is what Simon doesn't realize. Multiplication is getting ready to come to him. Amen. Just like the fish and the loaves. See, some people never trust God. They never trust God. I've been in that boat where I'm like, whoa, this is big. Come on, this is and it really is a trust issue. Is God really that good? Is he really going to take care of me? And so their minds kicked in, and they realized, once they stopped reasoning among themselves and got themselves out of the equation, they're like, you know what? Come on, because they're thinking about it. And like, well, Come on, we got to get all this gear out. We got to do all this stuff. Come on. We got to get all this, all these things that we just tied up, put up. Now we got to undo it all, go back out. Come on, and it's not the time for fishing. We're exhausted. Come on, I'm tired. I'm not going on that mission trip. I'm tired. Come on, God. God's saying, at thy word. And you're like, come on, I'm not sowing into that. At thy word. Come on, God's trying to bring increase to you. And we're going, at thy word. And so verse 6 says, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. Verse 7 says, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that it began to sink. Isn't that powerful? At thy word, at thy word. All they had to do is say, yes, Lord. Come on, whether it's the Logos or this the Rhema, the spoken word. God speaking to you, he speaks to you. The Bible, come on, say this when they say the Bible, is God speaking to me. God speaking to us. Come on, every time you get in that word, that life, that power, that ability, everything that is in this word, the living word, he's speaking to you. See, when you obey God, it not only affects you, but it affects those you're connecting to. Come on, God is a generational God. What you're doing today, come on, and your obedience today, and your faithfulness, and your giving today, and your generosity today affects generations, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Amen. Affected. I know a minister through a testimony was given this weekend in Louisiana who said this. He said, you know, I had a family member of mine, my father or my grandfather, that never preached out of the state of Texas. But here I am today, grandson, preaching all around the world. Isn't that interesting? You see, I may never leave Texas. I like where I'm at. But he still was obedient to do everything God told him to do in every area of his life, including financial, being generous. Isn't that interesting? That his grandson is traveling all around the world, preaching the gospel all around the world. Phenomenal, isn't it? Generations. Generations. God is a generational God. Ian, if you'll come on up. God is a generational God. What are you saying? See, a father or husband obeying God can affect his wife and his children. Come on, somebody. Amen. Before you play, verse 8 says this. When Simon Peter, in verse 8, saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Isn't this powerful? Powerful. God saying, Peter, Simon, just at thy word, listen to me, and I will multiply you. I will increase you. I will make you stand even in the leanest seasons of your life. I will make you stand, fruitful, multiplying, increasing. Come on, if God will do this for Peter, won't he do it for us? Amen. So Simon allowed Jesus to use his boat so that the ministry could advance at this time. Peter gave something. Simon, he gave something. When he gave it sacrificially, God multiplied it back to him. Come on. And how many of you know that boat probably, it doesn't say it in the scripture, but I imagine it wasn't cheap. Come on. It was a nice boat. Amen. In doing so, people heard the word when he gave the boat, sacrificially gave it so the man of God can preach, and their lives were changed. How many of you know people listening that day, their lives were changed? Amen. Their lives were changed. Think about how the gospel of the kingdom went further that day because of sacrificial giving of a boat and some loaves. That's just two contexts of scripture. There are so many more. You can't preach them in 30 and 45 minutes. Amen. You just can't do it. Amen. So, but it did not stop there. Listen, Simon was obedient. Let me say it again. Willing to sacrifice the boat. He was blessed to overflowing and brought in more than he can ever handle. Hey, guys, see ya? Come over here, brother. You need to get some of these fish. My boat is full. I can't. Come on. Ashley, come get it. I can't handle this. Montine, come get this. This boat is too full. I can't handle it. We're getting ready to sink. You guys got to take some of this off my hands. And I know you guys, because you operate, all of you, in this. Here's what happens. You go back, and you go, hey, in your community, come get some fish. Come on, come get some fish. Come on, Montine, I know you. You come get some fish. Come on, hey, guys, you get on your microphone, you get on your text, come get some fish, come get some food. Come on, there's resource here. Come and get it. Come on. Amen. See, when you decide that your life is not your own and you trust God, that's a big statement right there. When your life is truly not your own, but you're a child of God, you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. My life is not my own. I've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Lord, what do you want to do for me? I'll do it. What do you have to say for me? Come on, say to me. Say through me. You trust God and you allow him to use you when he sees fit. That's another big statement. Come on, he wants to use us. Come on, when he sees fit. He wants us to speak. He wants us to prophesy. He wants us to minister. He wants us to love. He wants us to do natural things like feed bellies, help people, preach the gospel to the poor. There are poor people in this nation. There are poor people around the world. Amen. And so you will not only become the giver that he wants you to be, but you will be the one who gets the receiver's reward. Stand with me. Let's get out of here. Praise God. Ian, if you'll play. Father, I just thank you. Rachel, if you'll grab my Bible. I want to thank those of you who are online with us this morning. If you need prayer this morning, leave a comment in the field. We want to pray with you. We'll follow up with you. We pray you are blessed by today's message. Know that you can reach our content at destinychurchwnc.com or our Facebook page here. God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful Sunday.